As you may recall, we worked through the book of Jonah for 5 Sundays, and I needed a couple more texts to nurse me to the finish line before heading out on holidays. And so Psalm 62 came to mind as a text that would be hugely relevant to us in this time of summer vacations. This is a text about rest. And so as I selected Psalm 62, it was with the intention that this psalm would help us to frame a theology of rest. As some of you know, I'm on the cusp of having a rather lengthy vacation. And my great interest during my vacation is to rest in a manner that honors God. And what I'm suggesting is that there is a way to use our free time, a way to use our downtime, a way to use our vacation that does not bring honor to God and does not refresh our souls. So my interest is for the texts of Scripture to inform and to frame for us a theology of rest. Now, as I look out, I realize I'm not the only one taking vacation this summer. Probably many, if not most of you, will have some level of vacation. And so I hope this psalm and this sermon will help you. And even if you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't get any holidays this summer, what do I do with this text? I hope that this text and this sermon will help you in your day off, that it will help you in your free evenings, anytime that you have a portion of time allotted to yourself. I pray that you would have a time of rest that brings honor to God. Now, I don't know if you're surprised by this notion that each of us, every Christian, should have a theology of rest. We shouldn't be surprised that such a thing exists when we remember that keeping the Sabbath day holy is one of the Ten Commandments. Having a measure of rest, a kind of rest, is one of the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath day holy. Even if we look to Genesis, at the very beginning of creation, we have this principle of rest that comes once every 7 days. And I think most of us recognize the importance of this principle. We recognize that if we do not take a break from our labor, then we will be exhausted. We will be run down, and we run the risk of burning out if we do not rest from our labor. So if we agree that some measure of rest is necessary, the question which remains is this: what should characterize your rest? What should your rest, what should your downtime look like? I wonder if you would agree with the suggestion that I'm going to make, that in our day, in 2015, in 21st century living in the Western world, rest in our day has become synonymous with recreation. Rest has become synonymous with recreation. That is to say, in large measure, we use our break from labor as an opportunity to entertain ourselves, to amuse ourselves. Of course, how we entertain ourselves will differ person to person. For some, a day off is an opportunity to engage in a TV watching marathon. For others, it is a time to head out in the boat to Rose Island. I know lots of young men who use their free time to play video games for hours at a time. Still others will use their time off to play golf, tennis, or some other sport. Now, I'm not going to suggest that any of those activities are inherently bad. If you know anything about me, you know I watch my fair share of TV. In fact, it's a little awkward delivering a sermon on this, realizing how much golf I've watched on TV in the last couple of days. So I'm not against watching TV, nor am I against going to Rose Island. I love going to Rose Island. I like to play tennis, and I'm not yet over my inclination to play video games. So I'm not trying to pick on any of you if you're sitting there thinking, well, I do those things, and he's suggesting it's not good for my rest. Well, what I'm really suggesting is this. It's not that those things are bad. It's not that those things should be avoided. It's simply that those things are not God's design for rest. Those things are not God's primary design for rest. We err if we imagine that a trip to Exuma or a round of golf will give us the rest that God designs for us. We live in a day and age where rest is equated with recreation. But the Bible always, always connects rest with worship. And that's how Christians live in a countercultural posture. Because our culture would use our time off for recreation. Our culture would use our time off to amuse ourselves. But the Bible always connects rest with engaging God in worship. Now, in case some of you are wondering, my intention is not to call us back to a day where kicking a soccer ball is frowned upon on Sunday morning. I know that some of you grew up at a time where you were to cease from any kind of recreational activity on a Sunday. I'm not suggesting we go back to this. My aim is for us to simply to note that according to the Scripture, our rest should be characterized by worship more than it is characterized by recreation. And what we get here in Psalm 62 is a beautiful picture of what rest should look like, of what God's design for rest is. What we have here is a picture of a king. A picture of King David finding rest in God alone. As a king, David would have had the resources to amuse himself in any number of ways. But David came to understand that he needed to rest in God alone. Now, if you're following along in the scriptures this morning, many of you realize, we recently changed our translation at St. Andrew's Kirk. We now have the English Standard Version as our primary text of Scripture. And here, 2 weeks or 3 weeks into my switching to the ESV, I find that I like the NIV better for Psalm 62. And I want to give you each of the renderings for verses 1 and 2. Well, at least for NIV, here's what we have. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my fortress. I will never be shaken. That's NIV. The ESV renders verse 1 a bit differently. In the ESV we have, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. Well, the common thread in each of these translations is that whether David needs refreshment, whether he needs protection, whether he needs assistance, whether he needs salvation, the source of all those things is going to be God alone. Now, what's unique about Psalm 62, if you were to compare it to the other Psalms, is in Psalm 62, you have a virtual absence of petitions to God. Flip through the Psalms and you'll see that the heart of the psalmist, usually David, is throwing out all kinds of prayers of intercession, all kinds of petitions. But that's not what we see in Psalm 62. Early on, you get the sense that David is actually talking to himself. You could even say that David is preaching to himself. And you see this most clearly in verse 5. David, preaching to himself, says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him." Preaching to himself. In verse 8, David then begins to preach to others. He says, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." It isn't until the final verse of Psalm 62 where you finally have David addressing God directly. I don't know that we need to spend too much time reading into that structural component, but I think it's helpful to note that this psalm is different in its structure than most other psalms. But if we use Psalm 62 this morning, if it becomes a model for us, if it becomes a template for how we pursue rest, here's our first application. We must preach to ourselves. We must preach to ourselves. Now, some of you are thinking, well, does that mean I don't need to come here anymore? Instead of you preaching to me, why don't I just preach to myself like Psalm 62 suggests? No, but what I want you to see here is that I don't think David trusts himself. I don't think David trusts his instincts. You often hear people say, follow your heart. You know, go with your gut. You know, do what feels right. I don't think David trusts his feelings. I don't think he trusts his gut. And in fact, he's fighting some instinctive thoughts and notions, and he's fighting them by preaching to himself. He is reasoning with himself about what he needs to do. Now, I don't know if you'll think this is an unusual analogy, but it did come to my mind as I thought of this principle of preaching to yourself. Some of you know that I've spent nearly four decades playing goalie in ice hockey. Well, I guess since I've lived here for five, it's more like 3.5 decades of playing goalie. And hockey goalies are thought to be a little bit eccentric. And my father-in-law's here today. He can affirm everything I'm saying. Goaltenders in hockey are thought to be a little bit weird. Some of you are thinking this explains everything. Why didn't he give us this right out of the gates? Well, the reason goalies are thought to be a bit eccentric is most of them have this habit of talking to themselves. And I was not any different. I spent the better part of 3.5 decades playing ice hockey as a goalie and talking to myself during the game. And goalies are given this unique opportunity because we're positioned in our net and there are times when there's a break in the action, the play's at the other end, and we've got time to think. We've got time to plan, we've got time to preach to ourselves or to coach ourselves and to ready ourselves for what's coming. I don't know, I see Dan Waitman here today and I wonder, do soccer goalies do the same thing? Do soccer goalies preach to themselves and ready themselves for the play to come? Well, this is how I'm picturing King David. It's as if he writes this psalm because there's a break in the action, the play's at the other end, and he's wanting to ready himself for what's next. And so he talks to himself. He talks to his soul. He preaches to himself in order to get himself in a right posture before God. The first application is preach to yourself about having rest in the Lord. Now, when it comes to our attempt to rest, I'm curious to know if any of you have had this experience that I've had more than I'd like to admit. I'm known for grouping my vacation together and having a long vacation, and I wonder if you've ever had this experience. You go away for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks, it's a really long time, and it's your vacation. It's your time to be renewed and refreshed. Have you ever had the instance where at the end of your vacation, the end of your time off, you're absolutely exhausted? You're absolutely worn out. You're thinking, I can't wait to get back to work because work is easier than the vacation I just had. And that should be our first clue that we don't know how to rest properly. If we can, at the end of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, end a vacation and be exhausted, it's evidence that we don't fully get it, that I don't fully get it. Now, part of me understands how this happens. We're wired for activity, aren't we? Some of us are really wired for activity. You look at Robin Brownrigg. He is wired for activity. I'm wired for activity. But God understands that constant activity is unsustainable. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how fit you are. We cannot sustain constant activity. And so what we have is the God of the Bible helping us to rest. The God of the Bible commanding that we rest. And it's not any kind of rest. But God commands our rest to be characterized fundamentally by worship. I've got a few Sundays since the siren has interrupted me. Oh, it's not coming. That's good. If preaching to ourselves is the first application, if that's your first take home, preach to yourselves the Word of God to help you rest. The second application is simply to pursue God. You have a day off? Go after God in prayer. You have a week off? Carve out some scripture that you want to study and meditate on. You have a month off? Write a Bible study. Write a sermon. I mean, you don't have to do those things. But use your time of rest to go after God, to get into His Word, to spend more time in prayer. In the NIV, the language is that of finding God. Well, how do you find someone unless you pursue them? It's the language of pursuing God. In the ESV, the language is of waiting for God. And you're thinking, well, which is it, Pastor? Are we going after God or are we waiting for Him? I think both are in play. There's a kind of rhythm between our going after God in prayer and our waiting for His response. There's a rhythm between talking to God in our prayers and listening to Him in His Word. And you see this balanced perspective in verse 8. David says, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him." Have you ever wondered why rest is given such a prominent place in the Bible? When you look through the Scripture, it's a big deal. It's the fourth commandment. It's a principle in creation. It's a principle picked up by Jesus. We find out that Jesus is our rest in the New Testament. That Jesus is our Sabbath. That we come to Him and He is our rest. Why does rest have such a prominent place in the Scripture? I think there are two fundamental reasons. Resting is very important to our well-being. Maybe the most important thing to our health and well-being is that we have adequate rest. The second reason why I think it has such a prominent place in Scripture is I think we're terrible at resting. And maybe I shouldn't universalize my own experience. I'm bad at resting. I don't like to take a break. I think many of us struggle with resting. Now, don't get me wrong, Allie could tell you there are days where I'm very good at lying on the sofa, eating Doritos, watching sports on TV. There are days where I'm very good at a certain kind of rest. There are other people who will take a day off or they'll take a week off, and you know what they'll do? They'll cook, they'll clean, they'll build something, they'll create a project for themselves. And I don't think either of those things is what the Bible teaches. I mean, the Dorito-eating guy lying on the sofa, that doesn't bring renewal to the soul. Neither does that, you know, project that you've created for your day off. That's not God's design for rest. Isaiah, and many of you know this passage in chapter 40, Isaiah gives us a wonderful prescription. He says, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what I want. I want to be what's described. I want to experience what's described in Isaiah 40. Because I know what it's like to fall exhausted. I know what it's like to be weary. And I know that eating Doritos on the sofa watching the U.S. Open isn't going to cut it. Now, I'm still probably going to do it. I'm still going to eat my Doritos. I'm still going to sit on the sofa. But at least I'm going to preach to myself and say, this is not real rest. Bryn, enjoy the U.S. Open, enjoy those chips, but this is not the rest that God ordains for you. And it is not for me to speak against the value of an afternoon nap. I think they are important. I think there is tremendous value in lying on a beach in this beautiful setting in Nassau. But this is not God's plan for how to renew your soul. God's design is for you to be renewed by rest that is marked primarily by worship. As I alluded to, I know what it's like to go to Canada for a month and to return to Nassau exhausted. And what I'm doing here is I'm putting myself out there to you. I'm being vulnerable and I'm telling you that's not going to happen this year. I'm going to preach to myself and I'm going to use my time of rest differently this year. I'm going to preach to myself, find rest, oh my soul, in God alone, not in the lake, not at the beach, not even with friends and family, but my rest will be in God alone. I pledge to you that during my time off, I'm going to pursue God often in prayer. I'm going to give greater attention to studying the Scriptures. I'm going to listen to the Lord. I'm going to wait upon Him in silence and call upon Him in a way that is difficult when we're engaged in labor day by day. I'm pledging this before you so you can hold me accountable. I'm pledging this before you because I want to urge you to the same. I want to urge you to find your rest in God alone. And again, rest through recreation, it's not a bad thing, but it's not God's way to renew your strength. God promises to renew your strength when you wait upon Him. When you wait upon Him in prayer. So our day off, our vacation time, it gives us a greater opportunity to wait for the Lord. A greater opportunity to read the Scripture and to pray to Him. Rest in God alone. He alone can refresh your soul. If you have vacation this summer, if you have time off this summer, don't miss this opportunity to rest in Him. Worship the Lord in your time off, and He will refresh your soul, and He will renew your strength, and we will be more useful servants for His kingdom in the months to come. Amen.